Saludos and salutations, Broncos country, and welcome to another exciting episode of Broncos Talk. I am your host, Adan Diaz. And ladies and gentlemen, before we get started with today's topic and today's show, let me just remind you guys a couple of the things that are coming up soon. As you guys may have, may or not heard, this show will soon be broadcasting on the Orange and Blue Network in the near future. Hopefully by next year, I want to say, which ironically, this is the last show of 2023. So, okay, I'm not going to lie. That joke was a lot better in my head before I said it. So, guys, show is going to be live pretty soon. I am so excited. I can't wait to come live in front of all you guys. And as always, just as we did before, if you're not able to join us live, that show will be uploaded and pre-recorded on here for the audio version. In case you guys weren't able to see us on the show live, the audio version will be up on all of the sites as well, so you guys can listen to after the fact. But anyways, make sure you guys like and subscribe wherever it is you guys are listening to us on the show, whether it's Amazon or Apple, Google, all those other good places. iHeart. I can't believe I always forget to say iHeart. For any business inquiries, you can email at BroncosTalk2020@gmail.com. Please make sure if you want to be a monthly supporter of the show, always appreciate it. I just found out that they actually brought that back. I don't know why I never got an email, but so that option is back up on the website over at the Spotify/Anchor. All donations are always greatly appreciated. I think that's pretty much everything. I'm sorry, guys. I'm in a bit of a fog today because there's a lot going on in Broncos country today. And I mean, you know what it reminded me of? You guys remember last year during the offseason when there was a part of Empower Field that lit up on fire? All day today, that image has been coming up in my mind because that exactly is where Broncos country is right now. That engulfed thing picture in my mind came up. And it's probably going to be on my mind for the entire rest of these 2 weeks, maybe even the offseason. Maybe even next year. I have no idea, guys. I am just at a loss for words. Today, we're going to recap the game or the disappointment, disaster, however way you want to quote it. That was the New England game. We're going to be talking about looking forward to round two against Easton Stick and those Los Angeles Chargers. And all this drama and I want to say drama. I don't know how else to put it. All this situationship going on with Russell Wilson. And will he or will he not be a Denver Bronco after March because of everything that happened today? This bombshell of sorts. So I'm sorry, guys, but I'm just letting you know now ahead of time. I don't know if this episode is going to go close to the 60 minutes that we always do. Just for the simple fact that I really don't have a lot of positive things to say about the New England game. There's more negative than there is positive. And the same thing with my personal ideas and situationship about the whole Russell Wilson thing. I've been trying to gather my thoughts ever since I heard the news. And just everything that's been set afire on Broncos Twitter/X. Oh, that's what I forgot to say. I can't believe it. If you guys like me and want to follow the show, you can follow me at 6'10 Mexican. Hit me up. I'm always down to talk Denver Broncos. I can't believe I forgot that. Oh, by the way, shout out to my good friend at TyFlyGuy. Thank you guys so much for your support and for becoming a newest member of the Broncos Talk community. I think we're a community. I don't know. There's fans out there. You know, they're scattered, but they're there. Thank you so much for your support as well. But New England, if you guys didn't know, my good friends Johnny Bakke and Isaiah Henderson were live at the game. They did a pregame show outside of Empower Field, so make sure you guys go check that out if you missed it over at the Orange and Blue Network YouTube channel. And they kind of broke it down, and they got everybody hyped, as everybody was going into this game. Now, I'll be honest with you guys, I really didn't expect Denver to struggle at all into this game. I thought that the Broncos were going to come in here, you know, yes, like I said last week, the energy depletion of the team, it was going to maybe take maybe a quarter or so, but the Broncos were going to find the rhythm. They were going to put, you know, foots and asses. They were going to, you know, lay the smacketh down, as a wrestling fan of being a wrestling fan. and just, you know, set an example going forward for the next 2 weeks against the Chargers and the Raiders. But that wasn't the case. Even though the first play from scrimmage was the Broncos defense forcing Bailey Zappe to fumble, the Broncos get the ball in the red zone and with four tries were not able to score. That alone right there was a giant fucking red flag and kind of like a prediction as to how this game was going to go. I mean, you know what? Javonte Williams, I love this guy. I really do. But I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's him afraid to get hurt, because that's always a thing with players when they come back from a serious ACL, excuse me, or any type of injury. You know, they don't play to how they were before because they're afraid to get hurt. I don't know. Maybe it's the offensive line. Maybe it was the play call, the play design. Vic Lombardi, Sean Payton. I mean, you can spin that arrow, and no matter where the arrow points, it's equal blame all around. And that's exactly what the point of this entire game was, is that no, there was really no perfect game. Some of my Uber passengers, when they found out I was a Broncos fan, they were asking me, like, who did I think was the best player? What was the best play of the game? And aside from the two-minute march where they almost came back, that was probably it. That was probably it. I mean, there were so many miscues. I mean, not scoring on that. The Patriots literally gave you the fucking ball, and the Broncos couldn't score. That missed field goal by Will Lutz before halftime. The muffed punt, was it punt return or kick return by Mims, giving the Patriots a free touchdown. Our secondary just getting beat. Patrick Surtain especially not being able to make a play when it really counted. You know, and it just sucks. And then losing by a field goal at home. I can't, aside from last year, I can't really tell you how, just how sad it is for Denver to come back and lose at home at Mile High, being one of the very few teams with an fucking advantage. You would think that they would use it to the best of their ability to win games, but not even the Mile High advantage was enough to give the Broncos a win. And the Patriots literally fly out of Denver with a win. They literally grinched a win away from the Broncos on Christmas night. Now, if you guys go back to where the Broncos were last year on Christmas when they went to Los Angeles and got completely fucking demolished by Baker Mayfield and the Rams, and the following day, Nathaniel Hackett got fired. I think that the loss on this Christmas was way worse than the ass-kicking we got last week. And that's the God honest truth. I know some people feel that way. I've even heard a couple people on Broncos Twitter mention it the same thing. I think my good friend Lindsey Bebo brought that point up as well. Or somebody did. I remember I read it somewhere else, and we were two minds thinking alike. But you have to respect it, though, because it was Baker Mayfield who came into a resurgent Rams team who had just beaten the Raiders. And, you know, Sean McVay out there, you know, making chicken salad out of chicken shit type of thing. And it's a miracle that Baker Mayfield didn't stick around with the Rams. But he was just a nice rental for the Rams until Matthew Stafford came back. And the Rams right now are playing really good football. They're 3 wins away or 2 wins away or something like that from catching a playoff berth. And Matt Stafford possibly going back to Detroit for the wild card round. I mean, that's a different story. But this loss, it was I forget the name of the author on CBS Sports that does grades for every team after every game on Sunday. And this was the shortest fucking explanation. The Broncos got an F, obviously. And it was one sentence. Losing to Bailey Zappe automatically gives you an F. Enough said. And that to me fucking, it made me laugh outside, but inside it made me fucking cry. It pissed me off at the same fucking time, because he's right. Losing to the 4-11 Patriots was fucking embarrassing. It really was. Losing to Bailey Zappe was fucking embarrassing. It really was. And just like I said earlier, you could spin that arrow around as to who's to blame. And there's been since Monday, like that arrow just keeps spinning. And I read on Broncos Twitter and heard from all these NFL analysts just the same. It's Sean Payton's fault. It's the offense's fault. It's Russell Wilson's fault. It's Vance Joseph's fault. It's the it really doesn't matter. That blame goes all the way around. Everybody wearing a Broncos uniform or headset was at fault for that loss. Every fucking body. Except maybe the fans. And the fans, not only because they did their part, they showed up in person. For those of us that couldn't make it, we watched on TV. And we all saw the same fucking thing I think they were on primetime. Yeah, which makes it even worse. The Broncos lost on primetime to a really bad New England Patriots team. But GG's to New England for coming in and punching Denver in the mouth when it was supposed to be the other way around. And now, well, as you guys know, nothing on the show ever goes as planned. We bounce all over the place. And now, we thought it was going to be Russell Wilson taking on the Los Angeles Chargers coming up. And that turns out not to be the case, because today, Broncos management, most likely, I want to guess Sean Payton, made the choice. I need a quick drink. Made the choice to bench Russell Wilson and start Jarrett Stidham. Now, there was a lot of speculation as to why this decision was made early on when we all first heard about it. My speculation is that the Broncos management wanted to kind of make an example out of Russell Wilson, saying, you know, kind of like, hey, you should have won that game. You didn't. They're paying him a lot of fucking money to win games, and they're not winning games. So I thought it was more like a punishment thing. But then it turns out that the Broncos management is actually benching Russell Wilson, so they don't have to pay him if he gets hurt. If he gets hurt, he gets something I heard, and some type of insurance clause that gives him $40 million guaranteed going into next year. And if he doesn't get hurt by March, then the Broncos can cut him. And you know what? I'm not really good with math. All I heard was something about dead cap this and dead cap that. And it's going to be, all I know, it's going to be a lot of ton of fucking money, and it's going to suck. And the Broncos are not going to be in the top 10, obviously. They're going to be, what, I think mid to low, depending on how these next 2 games go, or 2 weeks go, I should say. They'll probably be mid to low first in terms of drafting. So they could get lucky. One of these rookie quarterbacks could fall on their laps. I wouldn't be chasing Caleb Williams or a Drake May. Those are the first 2 names that come to mind. My other Broncos fanmates that are more into college football, they have a better idea and understanding of who they would like to see Denver pick up instead of those 2 guys, should their names still be available on the draft board. But my whole thing is that I go back to where I was and how I felt when I first heard Russell Wilson was coming to Denver last year. And I wasn't the only one that was out of excitement. We were so illusioned, I want to say. You know, we didn't really pay attention to the fact that Nathaniel Hackett was going to be a first-time coach and run the offense. We were just thinking playoffs. We were just thinking championships. Could it be 1? Could it be 2? Really pushing fantasy, stretching the hell out of that with 3. And we were just in la-la land. And you guys have heard me say this already before, so it's nothing new for the veterans. If this is your first time hearing this podcast, then that's where we were. We were having these giant dreams, and we were already thinking, hey, Denver might go undefeated. You know, we were dreaming big. And, you know, and because it for some of us, it was starting to give off that vibe when John Elway landed Peyton Manning. And that's exactly what we thought. That's what we thought we were going to get. You know, we were going to get Russell Wilson, you know, slinging the ball all over the place and records being either matched or broken and, you know, playoffs here. And that's what we thought. And somebody actually mentioned this to me today, and, you know, they brought up the fact about Joe Flacco being, you know, the Peyton Manning 2.0 signing. But Joe Flacco was just a complete that was just a giant swing and a miss by John Elway. He that really was supposed to be, in his eye and mind, a Peyton Manning 2.0 type of thing, and that was just a huge swing and a miss. And if it wasn't for that quote-unquote neck injury he suffered after that Colts game, and Drew Lock took over in, what was it, 2018, I believe? You know, and him and Noah Fant just lit up the board against that against the Texans in that game. I mean, it was just, and then it was off from there. Then it was Joe who, you know, and then Joe Flacco just kind of, what, he went the next year to the Jets. He was there for a while, then he just kind of vanished. And now he's having a resurgent career over in Cleveland. And the Browns are, I don't know if they've clinched a playoff spot yet, but they're really close. They're hot right now. But good for him. Happy for him. But going back to our friend Russell Wilson, unfortunately that wasn't the case. And the wheels fell off completely. All of the season last year, we were all just miserable. And the Christmas game against the Rams, that was just the Mike Tyson punch out of, well, I wouldn't say out of nowhere, but it was just being a person that's never been in a boxing ring again, trying to fight Mike Tyson in his prime. That's what that was. Kind of like the Miami game this year. And it was just one knockout punch. And then the Broncos ownership, the new ownership at that, finally stepped in and they did what we wanted them to do since weeks prior and fire Nathaniel Hackett. So in comes Sean Payton, and he has made some very, very critical decisions and comments before he even became a head coach, when he was still an analyst over at on Fox Sports. And he comes over, and this season doesn't go as planned at first. You know, the Broncos were, you heard me say it a million times, the Broncos are a bad team, but they're not the worst team. And then they go on a winning streak. They go on 5-game winning streak, and all of a sudden, everybody in Broncos country is happy, as well as myself. I was over here talking smack just as much as the next diehard orange and blue fan. And there was even an apologetic form going around apologizing to Russell Wilson for all the shit that people have been saying about him during the offseason at the beginning. So, to me, it always surprises me how we as fans, some of us get on this roller coaster, and we just... Or on this wave. Let me retract that statement. We get on this wave, and sometimes we don't know what wave it is. We just go with the wave because that's where everybody's opinion is. So one moment, everybody loves Russell Wilson, and they're apologizing to him, and we're all thinking playoffs and all this shit. And then when things start to go bad, now all of a sudden we're over here on this wave with, or maybe not with this wave, or seeing this wave in some cases where Russell Wilson sucks. Get him out of here. We don't want him. And now you got management on that same fucking wave. And me personally, I might be the only person you hear out of all the NFL or Broncos podcasts, whatever it is you listen to, which, by the way, I always encourage to you support and like and subscribe to them as well. But I think that the Broncos management are making a huge mistake. Because if they were so adamant that Russell Wilson was the answer, and they brought in Sean Payton to try to fix, quote-unquote, fix Russell Wilson, then they need to see that through. They honestly do. Cutting Russell Wilson is not going to do anybody any favors. I just got done hearing that the Broncos, people think that the Broncos are going to trade Russell Wilson. I don't think there's any team out of the 32 teams, well, 31 because Bronco counts as one of them, that's willing to pay what the Broncos were going to pay Russell Wilson to have them on their roster, seeing as what he did. That's a lot of money for a guy who, if they're going to judge by the last two seasons, isn't exactly looking like a $40 million or something like that type of player. Ain't nobody that dumb enough. Nobody. Not the Skins, not the Falcons. Not nobody. Especially next year when the draft class is, from what I'm hearing, going to be really popular with, up and young quarterback prospects. There's going to be some hot free agent quarterbacks out there. You know, Justin Fields might be on his way out from Chicago, so he's going to be a hot commodity, probably on the trading block, as well as some other ones. I can't believe I'm going to say Ryan Tannehill, but sometimes a change of scenery for some quarterbacks, hey, it can do them a world of good. I mean, look at Baker Mayfield. He became a bit of a travel man after he left Cleveland, but so far, his only, like, really terrible stop so far has been with Carolina. and Cleveland to a certain extent that just kind of gave up on him. But right now he's having a bit of a resurgence in Tampa Bay, and he's close to taking the Bucs to the playoffs. Whereas before, we were kind of already writing the Bucs off as being, they were going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And I had the Saints pegged as like the number one uncontested contenders for the division. And look how wrong I was. Super wrong. So I just think that the Broncos management, they put all their money into this man, this coach, and this team. And for them to kind of trying to find a way to scapegoat, to me, that just looks bad. That really does. And I had somebody on my that was telling me earlier that cutting Russell Wilson would be the same as having Russell Wilson still on board. Like, what's the difference? You'd be paying him the same thing. You'd still be spending that money if you cut him versus if you still had him play. Which is true, but if you have him play, then that's what you're paying him for. You're paying him for the money. You made your bed, you have to lay in it. That's basically what I'm saying. Now, I don't know what it is about Broncos country with this hype about Jared Stidham, where they think, you know what I compare it to? If it's kind of like the 2000 or 2001 when Drew Bledsoe got hurt and Tom Brady came in. That's what I base it that people think is going to happen, that Jason Stidham is going to come in and he's going to just light the floor and he's going to be the answer to Denver's players and he's going to go on to wait to win, what did Brady win, 7 championships? Like, that's not going to happen, man. That I just don't understand. Now, I will say that the Broncos are paying Jason Stidham a lot of money to be a backup quarterback. So that, to me, when that signing happened and I saw how much they were paying him, like, I really didn't get it, because Stidham wasn't exactly lighting up the board in Las Vegas last year. And when even with the there was a reason why he didn't stick around, you know. So even with the coaching change in Las Vegas, so I really don't know why the Broncos went out and spent that much money on a guy like Stidham, who, again, he had a pretty good preseason this year. I think his best game so far was against the Rams, where he helped pitch a shutout, but that was preseason. And that was against the second and third stringers of the Rams. Do you really think that? Now, here's what I think is going to happen. Let me backtrack a little bit. Stidham is more than likely going to go out there and he's going to beat the shit out of this Chargers team. This Chargers team is just completely, they've just kind of waved the flag. They're done. I wouldn't be surprised if they just put their second and third stringers out there this week. Against the Broncos. So, and then the following week against the Raiders, I don't know if you guys saw, but the Raiders that the Broncos faced the first time around are not the same Raiders that they're going to face this time around. Maybe not so much offensively with Aiden O'Connell, but defensive-wise, did you guys see what they did to first of all, the Chargers? They hung up 60 points on them. And then what they did to the Kansas City Chiefs, where they just embarrassed them at Arrowhead, which is something that the Chiefs have not had done to them in a non-playoff game in God knows how long. And to kind of take you back a little bit further than that, I don't know if you guys remember when the Raiders disrespected the Chiefs at the middle of their field on their logo, and then Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs just went out and hung 50 on them. It's like just embarrassed. I think they were still the Oakland Raiders back then. And then, like, fast forward to now, and that defense just embarrassed Patrick Mahomes and company at home at Arrowhead, and more than likely put a real damper on their chances to secure the number one seed. So, like, that alone, like, I'm sorry, I just don't get me wrong, I love you guys know I love the Broncos, and I'm always picking them to win, and I want them to win regardless of who's quarterback. But I've always said this since day one, the backup quarterback should only be in there if Russell Wilson is unable to play, in terms of physically, because he's physically hurt and he cannot play. But in this case, Wilson is going to be the backup to Jason Stidham. So in one way, like, this doesn't make any sense, because what happened if Stidham does get hurt and Russell Wilson goes out there? In a hypothetical situation, in a long fucking shot, what happens if Russell Wilson maybe doesn't get hurt this game, but he gets hurt and he can't play next week against the Raiders? And he has to go on, you know, IR or whatever, which is totally stupid because the Broncos are more than likely going to be out of the playoffs anyway, once all the math figures out after Sunday. And then he can't play. And then he does get injured. And that injury clause comes in and then all that. Like, there's just so many hypotheticals. And I know that's a bit of a long shot for me to say, but you never know. I mean, nobody thought that Justin Herbert was going to get hurt when they played the Broncos. And then he did with his thumb injury, then he was out. And, you know, in comes Easton Stick to try to make a comeback. So Easton Stick coming in had about as much chances beating the Broncos as I would dare say Jason Stidham has at beating the Chargers. Or, you know, beating the Raiders next week. And that's to say that I'm just guessing that the Chargers defense is just kind of, you know, lay down and let people walk all over him. But then again, they did take Buffalo to the limit, and Buffalo had a resurgence going up into that game. Buffalo was supposed to stomp over, you know, walk all over the Chargers, and they struggled to win that game. And, you know, so it's any given Sunday, folks. But I just don't think that cutting Russell Wilson, and I say cutting because I don't see this team trading him. I honestly don't. I don't see any team saying, "Hey, yeah, we'll pay the remainder of his contract," or maybe even agreeing to go half with Denver, which is still $1 too fucking many. Because what's gonna happen is, if that does happen and Russell Wilson goes to another team and he has a resurgence and he starts winning there at that team, and the Broncos start going the opposite way, then that's all people are going to fucking talk about. And, you know, we're already still catching heat in Broncos country over all this shit. We don't need any more fucking ridicule about how Russell Wilson needed another change of scenery with another coach and another coaching staff or whatever. And now he's back to Russell Wilson of old, you know, reliving his days with the Seahawks or whatever with some other team. You know, and that could happen. So me, I just don't agree with any of this. And I've been hearing that, yeah, you know, the Waltons have Walmart money. They can afford to spend it. You know, it's like chump change to them, which is probably true. It probably is chump change to a family worth a bajillion dollars. But just because you have the money to burn doesn't necessarily mean that you should burn it anyway. I'm pretty sure that's not why these guys decided to buy an NFL team. Just to piss off money, because I'm pretty sure they could have found other ways to piss off money. I just think that they bought this team because they want to win. And I just don't think that this is the right way of going it. Now, I will say that, you know, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, they have not mixed well all offseason. They've had their ups and downs. We still remember the talking to, or the yelling that they gave that the coach gave Russell Wilson last week against but 2 weeks ago against Detroit. So that forever will be embedded in our brains. And going into next year, like, I mean, you could get I just don't know. I don't agree with it. All that money spent that's going to be tied at Russell Wilson because they cut him is, yeah, the Broncos could get a young quarterback from the draft and, you know, they won't have to pay him. But when you don't have the money to spend to improve all the other areas around, then that becomes a giant fucking liability. Especially when injuries with the Broncos have been going hand in hand, like you and whoever your domestic partner is. Thankfully, this year, the injuries have not been that bad as in years past, where it's just the injury bug has completely crippled the team. And in one season, Vic Fangio had to build a team out of scotch tape or just grab whoever raised their hand out of practice squad players. but it's just... And then Kareem Jackson. God bless you, Kareem Jackson. You know, I forgot who I told this. I think I shared on social media at @6for10BXM. Please make sure to give me a quick follow. Say hi. I'll admit I wasn't your biggest fan at times. especially when this whole knocking people out thing started at the beginning of the year. I definitely was not a fan of that. But I will say that out of all that shit, you were a really good player. You had some really great moments. I'm glad to say I was there when you caught that interception from Justin Fields and gave the Broncos their first win of the 2023 season. That was great to see. I still think that that last suspension they gave you against the Minnesota game Vikings was bullshit. But hey, good luck with Houston, man. I know you'll give them a good shot to try to win and, you know, make a playoff berth, especially if CJ Stroud can shake the cobwebs off and come back in time this Sunday and, you know, work his magic with Nico Collins and, well, in the future with Tank Dell, should you still be around to be a Texan. But, you know, congrats to you, man. Hope everything works out well. I don't know what that conversation with Goodell was or how it went, but hopefully you learned something or he told you something different. So if you do decide to come back next year for another year or however long you decide to play, that you just play by the rules and not piss off the NFL officials or whoever the fuck makes the suspensions, you know? But yeah, so... I mean, I guess it's Stidham time, you know, there's just no other ways there's no other way to put it. And I really do hope, like I said, I'm pretty sure he's going to go out there and light up that Chargers defense, because the Chargers are just, they're not completely there. They're going to be on the road. This is the Broncos' last season, home game, of the season. And then following week, they go and finish the regular season off against the Raiders in Las Vegas. A pissed off Raiders team at that. but I guess now the Broncos will see what they have in Jared Stidham and how good Sean Payton is with a different QB that's not Russell Wilson, you know, that I'm pretty sure that he hand-selected to bring to come to Denver. Instead of re-signing Brett Rippon, you know, and right now Brett Rippon is riding the coattails of the Rams over there. So, I don't know. And there's like a lot going on right now, and it's just kind of, even as I speak, I can see my phone blowing up with different messages, different people's takes, other podcasts taking off, talking about the news and, you know, the reactions. And again, I always tell you guys to please make sure you follow and subscribe to them, you know, let them know, give them a piece of your mind or, you know, idea or whatever. So, but all in all, to kind of recap this entire thing, I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like this for the team. And I'm pretty sure they're going to try to sugarcoat this as much as they can the next couple of days and maybe going into the next offseason. In fact, I was just reading the article by Eric Dalila over at NeverBroncos.com. And I'll share it with you guys. I'll read the article that he wrote. He wrote and he starts, "The Denver Broncos have made a change at quarterback. Jared Stidham will start the Broncos' regular season home finale against the Chargers. Head coach Sean Payton announced on Wednesday, Russell Wilson will serve as the Broncos' backup quarterback for the matchup." Then the coach goes on to say, "I understand all the speculation and everything that surrounds a move like that. I can tell you, look, we're desperately trying to win. Sure, in our game today, there are economics and all those other things. But the number one push behind this, and it's a decision I'm making, is to get a spark offensively. Obviously, it's difficult and all of us feel like, man, we didn't do well enough. One of the things that we saw when we signed Stidham in the offseason was not only film from preseason games, but regular season games. He's a guy that I'm anxious to see play. If I didn't feel like he gave us the chance to win, we wouldn't be making that move." Which, to me, just comes up to saying all I see is the word in giant letters, bullshit, because... I still think that Russell Wilson is your better chance of winning. And I say that even after the fucking disaster we saw with against New England. But what I think Sean Payton is saying here is that Stidham is going to go out there and he's more than likely going to fling the ball, which is something that Russell Wilson didn't do a lot. He did a lot of checkdowns, and Wilson didn't do himself any favors when he did that step back and then step back for no fucking reason. And he just kind of walked into getting tackled in the pocket when he could have literally just walked up in the front. I mean, it was, just even thinking about that clip, it's embarrassing. But you're paying the man to play and you want to see results. And apparently there was a lot of bad blood from what I read. This whole injury thing happened after the Broncos won against Kansas City, from what I read. That's when management approached Russell Wilson about all of this. And then it just kind of went under the rug because the Broncos went on a 5-game winning streak. But now that, you know, shit hit the fan, now all of a sudden it's all being brought to attention. And, you know, Russell's camp was involved, the NFL was involved, the Broncos management, and another unaffiliated party. And it all led to this. So I just think that if Stidham, and I'm pretty sure if is going to happen when he throws an interception or he gets sacked and fumbled or he just does something, that Sean Payne is going to be like, oh, well, you know, even though he's a starter, he's also the backup. So, hey, that's the backup's fault. And it's still going to hurt. It's still going to fucking hurt because Stidham is being paid a lot of money to be a backup quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the highest paid backup quarterback in the entire league. Actually, I can't even say that now because now that Russell Wilson is the backup quarterback, now Russell Wilson is the highest paid backup quarterback. Oh my God. I had no idea. I just fucking realized that. That just sounds so much fucking worse. And this, to me, does not sound like a team that's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit with the very little percentage of playoff, like, chances they have. All of that shit died with that field goal going through the uprights in Denver. That's the playoff. Denver's playoff chances just went through that kick. And it doesn't matter if you... Doesn't matter who you got to play at quarterback. Because even if the Broncos win this game, if like four or five other things happen and the Chiefs win their game, which is going to look more likely like they will, because let's check the list. Who do the Chiefs play? I think they play a fluffy team. Oh, they play the Bengals, the Jake Browning Bengals. So unless the only way the Chiefs lose that game is if Ja'Marr Chase plays. If Ja'Marr Chase plays, then the Chiefs have a chance of losing that game. Because we saw what Jake Browning and Ja'Marr Chase have. They have a really good chemistry, and they beat really good teams that they were supposed to have lost to once Joe Burrow went down. But if Ja'Marr Chase doesn't play, then there's a chance that the Chiefs find some resurgence and they're able to get past Cincinnati, even with Jake Browning. Because they just got stomped by Pittsburgh last week. So, and so there's a lot of ifs going into that. And even if by some reason the Broncos make it to week 18 with the playoff hope, and then hypothetically speaking, they make it to a playoff berth, like a wild card, and they have to face either Miami or a team that shellacked the Broncos, or that look, I mean, can you honestly say that Jarrett Stidham would stand a chance against a playoff team, an AFC playoff team? You know, so like I honestly, guys, I can't say that. I honestly can't, and I'm pretty sure that the Broncos, if they make the playoffs in some wild scenario, they're not going to change their mind about starting Russell Wilson. And if the Waltons really didn't care about fucking money, this wouldn't have happened in the first place. They would have just surprisingly cut Russell Wilson, ate their losses, which looks like they're going to do anyway in March, just try to save some money while they're at it. And that move alone is just going to send ripples through Broncos country. It's going to cripple so many other areas because when shit hits the fan and offensive line needs to be revamped, or secondary, or defensive line, or wide receiver, or tight end, any other aspect won't be able to get upgrade without moving some whatever money they can. But even moving money around in contract negotiations and renegotiations, I should say, or cuts or whatever, is not going to do anything until the Russell Wilson contract is fully, what, completed by, what, 2025, I think, 26, somewhere around there. Unless the Broncos just happen to find some team stupid enough to take Russell Wilson's remaining contract and say, hey, this is our guy for the next, what, 2 years or whatever. But that's wishful thinking. And the fact that this whole thing, regardless of Russell, if Russell leaves or stays, but the fact that this entire thing just blew up in Denver's face and now they're trying to save some face is embarrassing enough. It really is. And what's worse, that made me realize today while I was doing Uber and driving, is the fact that that's just how fucking bad luck Denver has been with quarterbacks since Peyton Manning left. It's just, things wouldn't have been better if Aaron Rodgers came, because we saw what happened when he went to the Jets. He gets hurt, and now the Jets are, like, they aside from their defense, played like shit offensively all fucking year. How the Jets are playing this year is how the Broncos were playing last year, but with Russell Wilson. So it really wouldn't have mattered if Aaron Rodgers would have came last year like everybody thought he would, because we probably would have been in that same scenario like the Jets. Maybe not Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, but who's to say that he would have had that same success even with Nathaniel Hackett here as his head coach? I honestly don't think so. Not at this point. And I'm pretty sure you're going to think that's a wild take, but I don't give a shit. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still wear my colors with pride. I still represent my team with pride. It's just that right now, this team, if I didn't appreciate the few non-gray hairs I have left on my head, or the ones that are starting to, I'd probably tear it out. You know? I mean, cut us some slack, Broncos organization. I mean, I don't know. And to be honest with you guys, I really don't have much to say. So we're going to end the stream on that. For beating the Chargers, actually, just to kind of backtrack a little bit, just for beating the Chargers, I mean, with Jarrett Stidham, I honestly don't know, because I can't go off of what I saw last year with the Raiders, because that was with a different team, with a different coaching staff. Hopefully he can do better than Russell Wilson, and I think he can, just for the simple fact that he's a different type of quarterback who I'm pretty sure is going to sling the ball. Now, will he have Courtland Sutton out there if he can clear a concussion protocol? Is something that's hopefully that he does. I hope he does have all the weapons so he can show off his arm. Nick Bonito, I think, will be cleared to come back to the defense, who was desperately, desperately missed these last 2 weeks. Him and Jonathan Cooper really, really, and Baron Browning really do make a really good pass rushing trio. Zach Allen, hopefully, and Fred, what's his name? The Fred Jones or D Fred? I can't think of his name right now. But the defensive lineman who got the strip sack on Bailey Zappe, finally showed up and he's making some noise. So hopefully that continues, and they give the Chargers another shellacking, and we can sweep the Chargers, because that would be a nice boost of confidence, you know, going into, especially if the Broncos do end up mathematically eliminated after this week, and then that week 18 game just turns into a giant preseason game for, hell, maybe even the Raiders, if the Raiders lose, or if mathematically they're not in it, you know, who knows. A lot can happen this weekend, and we'll find out a lot more about the future of a lot of teams that are going to be playing for something in week 18, or if they're just going to be playing a really early preseason game for 2024. But anyways, guys, that's going to do it for me today. Sorry for the really short episode, but it's just really been a bummer. It really has. And with today, it just kind of made things worse, because I'm not the biggest Jarrett Stidham fan. Like, I welcomed him to Broncos country. I hope he does good. But I always said that I really didn't want to see him play, because then that means Russell Wilson was going to get hurt, or was hurt. And then I ended up being wrong. He's not hurt. The Broncos don't want him to get hurt, so they benched him. And now that's just a giant money bag sitting on the bench or standing on the sidelines or what have you that has no injury designation. He's just there because the Broncos are trying to save a penny, and it's being wildly rumored and looking like the Broncos are going to move on from Russell Wilson. And this is just a quick recap. I feel that they're not going to be able to find a trade partner. Even if they can get some money off of the books, I don't think it's going to be enough that's going to save some cap space for the team. It's just going to be more egg on the face. And 2024, guys, quarterback-wise, I have no idea what's going to happen. But to be honest with you, it's looking kind of up in the air. I can't say it's going to be good. Can't say it's going to be bad either. Hopefully it is good. I have no idea. But all I can say is, guys, strap in because it is going to be a long, bumpy-ass ride during the offseason into training camp next year. Oh, but with that being said, guys, thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to follow me on Broncos Twitters, hit me up on at a 6'10 Mexican. I'm always down to talk about football. Hit me up. Wherever you guys are listening to the show, please make sure you give 5-star rating, subscribe. Comment wherever it is you listen to on the show, Amazon, Apple, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff. For any business inquiries, you can email at broncostalk2020@gmail.com. Please make sure to keep live notifications up so when you guys get live, up-to-date news on when Broncos Talk goes, premieres live on the Orange and Blue Network. Shout out to all my friends over at the Orange and Blue Network, by the way. And make sure you guys continue to support any and all Broncos media, podcast, and articles and all that good stuff. And Happy New Year. Happy New Year, guys. And you know what? Even with Jaren Stidham at the helm and with possibly a new quarterback at the helm next week, fuck it. Still going to say it. Broncos country? What else? What other choice do we have? Let's ride.